Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. In this talk, we will be telling the history of the great tzaddik, Hagaon Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Haberman, who is known as Hatzaddik Miranana, the Ranana tzaddik. So today, Baruch Hashem, I know, and I'm sure many of you know, great tzaddikim live from Ranana. But when we talk about Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Haberman, we're talking about a very unique tzaddik. He has a sefer Ben Laoshri Bracha Mishuleshes, which is a sefer on Chumash, and it's Al Arbas Hadrachim Pardes Pshat Remez Drash and Sod. And the Rebbe promises, the tzaddik promises, that anybody who is ma'ayin in his sefer and says in his name Divrei Torah to others is going to be saved from any tzara, that they need a Yeshua in this world, in the next world. And in the Shara Sefer in Chelek Beis, in Chelek Emulim, writes Skula Gedola B'bayis L'chol Advarim V'akdama and Shmos, he writes, and I'll conclude with the Tefillah Ktzara, that anybody who learns from this Sefer should be Zochet Yerushamayim Atzlacha B'chol Tuv B'zeo B'ba. It says in the Sefer Chassidim, anybody who says a Dvar Shmua Mipiyam, if you say Dvar Shmua, if you say Torah in the name of somebody, they daven for you Shemayim. So my plan is, B'siyata Dishmaya, first to talk about his history, his past, and then hopefully in the future to learn his Torah, that we should all have, first of all, the knowledge of Torah, become Talmidim of the Tzaddik Miranana, and he never had children, so it'll be a huge schus for his neshama that his Torah is perpetuated, and it should be a skula tova for us that we should all have Yeshua's bakol. The tzaddik from Ranana, Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Haberman, was born in the year Tav Reish Nun Vav on Shavuos to his father Rav Asher Anshel HaKohen, who was Mimiyuchase HaKohuna. He was a Kohen Miyuchas. He had pure Kohanic genealogy, and he was a huge Talmud Chacham. His mother name was Moras Zlota Esther. She was Mefarnes the family in order that her husband could learn Torah all the days of his life. When he was 7 years old, the tzaddik was a huge Shakten. He was a huge Masmid. Didn't stop learning. He's 10 years old. He already learned with the older boys in the Beis Medrash by his Rebbe, Hagoyin HaKadosh, Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai Mibilgorei. In the year Tav Reish Ayin Aleph, okay, in our dates, that's 1911, in the secular date, he went to learn in the Beis Medrash of the Shai Mishmiel, the highly Sachat Shavu Rebbe, and he learned there Behasmada Gedola until the year Tav Reish Ayin Dalid, which is 1914. So that's when he's 18 years old now. Now he's 18 years old. And the World War breaks out. World War I breaks out. So he traveled to Warsaw. And became known to the Gaon Rav Menachem Shachna Rutschbel, who is Migdolei HaRabbanim of the Vara Kehila of Warsaw, the author of the Sefer Tshuvas Shem Olam, and that's who he learned by. And then after his Ptira, he learned by Hagoyin Rav Tzvi Glickson, who is the son-in-law, the Eidim, as they say, of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who's Makariv him. And then he became acquainted with his son, the Briska Rav. And then when he was in Warsaw, he was Mizabik Ba'afar Aglam Shel Harbe Ga'inim B'tzadikim, like Rav Shlomo David Kahana, Rav Menachem Zemba Va'ot Tzadikim. But the Iker Nesiyah was to go to the Heilige Ger Rebbe, Rav Avraham Mordechai Migur, the author of the Imre Emes, who had tremendous respect for this young man, Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Haberman. During the Tkufa of the Holocaust, the Shoah, he went to Siberia, And there he continued writing Chiddushei Torah, even though it was so difficult. And there were tremendous redifos. We can't even imagine what one day in Siberia was like. It's like worse than the worst day of our lives. And he was Mekayim Torah Mitzvah B'Mesiris Nefesh. During the Holocaust, he had tremendous, tremendous sevel, tremendous anguish and pain. And he was saved by Nisim, as he talks about in the Akdamah to Chelek Aleph. After the Second World War, he went to Wetzlar in Germany, and there he was a Rav for 6 years, and he worked hard to strengthen the Jewish religion, made sure they built a mikveh, and afterwards he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he moves, of all places, to Ranana. And there he spends Leilos Kiyamim B'Taraso B'Nigle B'Nistar B'Avodaso Vayakosher V'Dovik B'Kvoid Kedushas Admo Migur B'Alabais Yisrael Rusal Alter Migur. And the Ger Rebbe had tremendous respect for him, and he would give him kavod at the tish, and he would also invite him to his own home to eat. And even though this the tzaddik Miranana had a tremendous ratzon to hide himself, but he was nevertheless revealed, and he was misparsim as a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, and his tefilos were heard in Shemayim, and he saved many people Be'ez Tzarasim. In the year 1976, Tavshin Lamed Vav, he spoke a lot about Mashiach, and he says that if Mashiach comes this year, I'll be zocha to see him. He ended up dying in Teves. It's his yurtzeit today. That's why we're having this talk, because it's the yurtzeit of the Rebbe today. So in Teves, Tavshin Lamed Zayin, he was nifter, and the 13th of Teves, 2 months before his Ptira, he told somebody he was close to that he's towards the end, and therefore he went to be told him to be Mavarer about his plot that he had bought in Har Menuchas. A few weeks before he died, he was very weak, and in his last days he felt better, and on his last day, Yom Aleph Yud Beis B'Teves, Hivri Kim'at Legamre, he mamish was Kim'at Legamre healthy after all that. And then in the evening, he asked somebody close to him that he should help him put on Big Day Shabbos, and he didn't tell him why. And at night, when one of the Mekorovim of the Ger Rebbe visited him, he asked to tell the Ger Rebbe certain things that alluded to the fact that the Tzaddik Miranana knew that his time was up. And about an hour later, he returned his neshama tahara liyotzra, to the Meginas Libam, to the sad hearts of many people who were close to him and many others who had heard of him. B'Lel Beis, remember he was wearing Big Day Shabbos, it wasn't Shabbos. B'Lel Beis, Yud Gimel Teves, Tav Shin Lamed Zayin. The next day, many people came to his funeral, and people spoke about his godless, his tzidkus, his yeshuas, and menuchasoy kavod b'har ha-menuchos b'Yerushalayim. So that is an overview of the life of Hagaon HaTzaddik, Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen Haberman. Talk about his Torah. Already when he was a young man, he was, as we mentioned, a tremendous masmid. He didn't stop learning Shas and Poskim. When he was 7, he was a baki in all of Tanakh. He was 7. And this was the testimony of Agon Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai Mibulgurai in his letter to the Shemi Shmuel when he was all of 15 years old. This is what the letter said. Habachor hu dvar pele hu davar nifla b'daraseinu asamadas l'echilu niyoros. It's wondrous in our generation. There are many great bachurim in that generation, but he's an yotzei min haklal. He's a smada many pages cannot contain. He learns early in the morning. Atzei sakachavim, you can hear his voice calling out and learning. Shagalo kalavi, lo pasik pumei migirsa. roaring like a lion, doesn't stop learning. And become Tchilaso v'sofa Yiras Shemayim Niflesi Beineinu. He starts with Yiras Shemayim. He ends with Yiras Shemayim. He's called Kulo Yiras Shemayim. It's a wonder in our eyes. And so writes Reb Tzvi Hirsch Glickson, the chassan, the son-in-law of the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, in a letter V'hinini lahagit shvacho ki shkeidasoi v'asmadasoi b'torosenu ha'kadoshim ha'flia ein kol ra, tremendous masmid b'noisef l'zanagasa ritzui b'nei Hashem v'adam, and he has beautiful behavior, it's favorable in the eyes of God and man. V'yiraso kodems l'chachmasa ov l'makam ov l'brius, his yira precedes his chachma, like it says in Pirkei Avos that it's supposed to be, and he loves, he's beloved to God, he's beloved to people. When he was a yeshiva bacher, he used to buy a lot of books that cost money. And they asked him, where do you have money? Where does a bacher like you have money from? He said that the money that he gets for breakfast, they used to give them money to buy breakfast. Instead of, what does he need breakfast for? He went to buy svarim. That's what he did with his money. And with his tremendous hasmada, his wondrous hasmada, he continued all the days of his life. He would sleep about 2 hours a night. Every 24 hours, 2 hours. His Rebbetzin relates that she was very worried about his health because he wouldn't eat much either, obviously. Most people aren't sleeping much, aren't eating much either. They're not so gorous in all the mazah things. And he didn't really listen to his wife. And everything he was able to do to not eat and not sleep, he did. Even when he was in Avreich in Poland, his smother was L'Shem Dover. The neighbors who lived around him in Ranana related that this is, again, not the stories from 1,000 years ago. They're people I know who knew him. People, he died 52 years ago. So, there are people around still who remember him. He lived in the Eretz Yisrael, lived in Ranana, you know, not in some remote town in the middle of Poland, but right here in Eretz Yisrael. Israel is a small place, so the neighbors that lived near him in Ranana related that when they were children, they used to follow him to see when he's sleeping, and at night they put their ears to the wall that separated between their house and his house. And he's learning, shtendik, he's always learning. One time, he told somebody close to him a beautiful chiddush, that he was zocher to be mechadish. And the person was mispoil, and he said, how can you be mechadish? Is that great chiddushim? And Rabbeinu said, when I have a kasha, I don't sleep for nights until I find the teretz. That's how he comes up with such chiddushim. When he goes to and from shul, and people walk with him, he only spoke in Divrei Torah. Sometimes he would stand by the windowsill for 4 to 5 hours straight with a big Gemara in his hand. Back then they didn't have an art scroll. In his later years, his eyesight became very weak, and people would come and read him Svarim. And many times he would cry because he can't learn Torah properly, like he wants to. That's why he needs to see. Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol yisher kruv emes. He used to say, "En emes el Torah." Brachas Hamid Beis. Kadosh Baruch Hu is close to those who call him for Torah. That's why he wants to be able to see, so he can learn. His bekiyas in Nigla Nistar was lahafli. Already in Pei Zion, which is 1927, he's all of 31. Remember, he was born in 96, in 1896. So he's 31 years old. He had a chibur ala Torah, v'al kol ha'shas, gemara perish rashi tosfos. And they brought it to the Ger Rebbe, zechat tzadav v'kodesh l'bracha, the Imre Emes. He looked at it for over 4 hours, which was lepele b'enei achasidim. He was meniach b'ksuvim chidushei Torah, al kol ha'torah, kadosh neviim, v'chamesh megilos, tehillim, medrash rabba, tanchum, v'yalkut shmoini, el yirabba, zuta, Kol Hashas, Tshuvas Halacha LeMaisa, Befrat Binyanei Agunos, that he had masum matan with rabbanim goinim and chutz laaretz in Eretz Yisrael, hundreds of tshuvas bas gamas hagoinim chedushim nizara kodesh pekisvei ari nigla nistor abeinu v'chaye. Bez Hashem, they already published his chedushim al Torah v'al Tehillim. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, and the people will listen to the shiurim. We can learn a lot from his svarim and chumash, even on my madrega. We can understand whatever we can understand. Siyata d'shmaya, the heilige tzaddik miranana. Also, he published three svarim anonymously. One of them is a chibur al Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. His koyach zikaron lahafli ad yoyimah acharon. He mamish had a tremendous memory. When people would ask for a skula to remember things, he would say, "The mantizkru basisim is kol mitzvosai. Aidei kiyum kol mitzvos. You come to zikaron haTorah." And he also said, when you learn, say at the chonein, you should ask for zikaron. When he was 17 years old, he learned Horah, he learned to be a rabbi, he learned for smicha, he learned chulin, rishonim, tur, b'siyos, yerideya. He knew them by heart, with his chedushim. And the Taras Michael was another mufladik again. Rabbi Michael Forschlager, maybe we should learn his Torah and tell about his life, because that's also a sipur b'fnei atzma. He was held him in high esteem and high regard. He held the tzaddik miranana. He held Rav Haberman in high regard. One time when he was an older man, he couldn't believe it. He was with a bachur, a 16-year-old bachur. He didn't know a certain gemara. And he said, "But by your age, I was already holding and chazering all of Shas. Bagilcha chazti kvar b'lachzor al Shas. You don't know a gemara? You're 16 years old and it's a gemara you don't know." Since then, I met a few 16-year-olds who didn't know Shas. V'ani b'seichem kamuban. B'meshach shanim rabot, he paskin b'yana yeser v'heter. Paskin shilas for women, shilas of Tara, and people were so amazed and in awe of his bekiyas, quoting Shulchan Aruch with the Noisei Kelim, Kilashoina Mila Bemila, Lashon Hashas, Hayashagar Al Piv Kilashoina Mila Bemila, Lashon HaGemara. And he'd always find the right Gemara for whatever he needed to prove. Whenever somebody came to him, he would always tell him a chiddush lefi dargoso, such that the people left b'sipuk. They felt good, they felt an aliyah, because everybody's talking to him on their level. Sometimes he had a certain toelis, he had a certain goal that he wanted to reach by telling them, so he would tell them what they needed to hear, and that person would do tshuva. A lot of times, Talmid Chacham would come to him, Baalei Kabbalah would come to him, to talk to him in learning, b'nigla, b'nistar, and they were misspelled from his godless. Sometimes he would explain, many times, he would explain things going on in the world, Apitaris Esod. And he also told things that were going to happen. He predicted, for example, Melchemes Yom HaKippurim, the Yom Kippur War. He spoke about it beforehand, B'Bechios Gedolos. He was able to see the future, a tremendous Ruach HaKodesh. When a person told him that he has a certain machle, he told him that he has Zorah Kaddish. Lo yitochin shemachle zohi kayemes etzla. It can't be. Can't design that you have this machle. And he was right. Sometimes he's machadish chidushay Torah. He said it should be the refuas ploni. He also could look at somebody's face and he can tell you their sins. Since no one in the Mekubalim could do that, they could see it all on their forehead. And he would tell them, guy would come into him. You have people like that even today. If you come into them and they say, "You did this and you did this," it's embarrassing, but that's the mitzvahs. One time a person came to him, and after he left, he said, "He's not beseder, this guy." And it turns out that he had a certain profession that was not mechubadik for a ben Torah. So there's a lot more stories to tell. I wish they would tell more. The truth is that I looked through the Yotzar Chochma program to find out information about this tzaddik, and I could find almost nothing. A musaf of Shabbos of a newspaper, Hamavaser, they put out a supplement for Shabbos. So they had a beautiful article there about him. And then this, what I'm saying now is from the Hakdamah to Sefer. But unfortunately, very little has been written about him. Halavai that they should come out with a full-length Sefer. When he was asked how he got to this Madrega, that he knows people's history, he knows what's going on in their lives, he knows what they've done, they asked him, how do you reach such a Madrega? So he said, "Ani mitzta'er shani yodea, v'yoter tov shelo ladatam." I'm sorry that I know, and it's better not to know, because you see these people's sins. It's geferlich. It's terrible. He wishes he didn't know, but he knew. What could he do? Sometimes he would tell people their shorish neshama. If they had a certain need, he would tell them where their soul comes from, what their purpose is. When they brought before him a certain sefer, chibur al Torah, he looked at it for a moment, and he threw it on the floor. And he said that this mechaber is going to die this year in a misa mishuna. And so it happened after a few months. Vahiya davar lepele, this author killed himself, Rachmana Litzlan. And Avreich came to be mityayitz with him, came to take Eitza. Chodesh Elul, he wanted to know what he should be mischazik in. And the tzaddik Mirana told him, to his great surprise, that he should fix a certain midah that he knew that he was very, very weak at. He had a tremendous shvachkeit, a tremendous likui in this midah. Sometimes he would say about people who looked very choshu, very distinguished, that they're completely empty. Obviously, this is all the toelas, he wasn't stop saying. One time he told somebody, he used to go to him a lot, "When you come into me, I check your 248 limbs and 365 sinews, your Ramach Ivar Meshosa Gidim. I check you all, inside and out." One time somebody came to Bimavakish for his sick sister, who's in Chutz Laretz, and Tzaddik asked him for a certain reason. "Does she already have gray hairs? Hayim yesh la sarot seva?" And he would try to remember, like, "Does she? Doesn't she?" He's thinking about it, and then the tzaddik says, "Yeah, ra'iti kvar, hayim sarot seva. Yeah, she already has. She has gray hairs." She says, "I see." All of his sevel, all of his yisurim, didn't stop from being oisek b'toyrat klois kechosav, and tamir ha'isot sahalosli b'fonav, like it says in the Chovas Halavavos. That a smile was on his face, b'miuchad, when he was mashmiya from his chedushim, he became like a birya chadosha chayu mislaiv mamish misaneg lo yachas l'chol mitzukosa. He has all these physical ailments, and he has such tremendous simcha from his Torah. During the World War, he was shakua, but he was so immersed in his learning, he never stopped. There were pagazim, there were all these shells going here, going there. He continues on. When they told him, people told him Chidushei Torah, and he didn't like it. It wasn't Lamita Shel Torah. He was very makbid. He had a little plot of land to raise, to grow vegetables next to his house. The Rebbetzin was osek in this, and the tzaddik would tell her what to do. And it was, they had a tremendous crop. I mean, he was asked, "How do you know? How does the Rav know so much about growing vegetables?" He said, "I learned Zeraim with Rav Adi Mivarta Nur in the Tesis Yantif." He was asked by an Adam Gadol about finding the Aseres HaShvatim, is it Kedai? He answered in detail where it's Kedai to go and where it's dangerous to go. Dvarav HaKadoshim VaTahorim Yotzu Milev Torah V'Nichnasu Alev HaShomim. His pure words came out of his pure heart and went into the hearts of those who listened. And they penetrated even Jews who were completely removed from the Derech. Once when he was still in Russia, he said over a drasha an avis. And there was a certain communist Jew who heard his drasha. From the back of the shul, and he was mispoiled from what he heard, very impressed, and he made sure to help him get over the border to save him. His tefillah was b'mesiras nefesh, even in situations where he couldn't stand. He had tremendous yisurim. He would stand for hours davening Shemoneh Esrei. When he was 2 years before he died in the hospital, for hours he would daven Shemoneh Esrei. And he told him, you don't have to bring me lunch, because at lunchtime I have to eat my breakfast. Agav, this arichus in Shemoneh Esrei was b'myuchad in his later years. Earlier on, when he davened in shul, he didn't daven for so long. He would spend most of his time learning. His tefillos many times were b'chiyas gedolos, sometimes even you would scream. And people would ask, everything okay? And he would stand, people would give him kvitlach, put them in his sitter, and he would daven for the people who would ask him to daven for them. He would cry the whole night. Sometimes he would even tell the chole, and I daven for you the whole night. Even when the doctors forbade him from crying because of his eye problems, he would cry anyway for hours for cholim who asked for his bracha. And when the matzav of the cholim was misukan, he would bang on the ground strongly. I guess that's some sort of beating the sitra achor. I don't know what he was doing, but he would do whatever he could to help. Alpi nigla nister. His Rebbetzin tells that people think that after they give him a kvittel and a bracha, it's over. It's geendikt. But it's not true. Afterwards, he davens and he cries, and his heart breaks for people. One time on Chol HaMoed, he complained to somebody who came for to tell him about a chole that they don't allow him to be mekayim simchas hachag because he takes people's tzaras to heart and he cries. One time after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he said to the relatives of an Adam Gadol that I invested my tefillos in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur for his health. And Taka, from then on, his matzav improved. One time he was visited by the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe used to come visit him. The Ger Rebbe was a big mevakish. He liked to be close to people who were tzaddikim. So when the Rebbe came, he was in shul. He was davening Ma'ariv, and it was pouring rain outside. And the Rebbe stood outside for 15 minutes and he just watched him till he finished davening. He had an umbrella over his head. He probably had his gabbai. He was holding the umbrella and he watched him daven for 15 minutes in the rain. And then they went to his house. They went to the tzaddik's house. During the war, Melchemet Yom HaKippurim, he cried for hours and hours. And he spoke Dvarim Gvoim V'Nistarim Ad L'Maod, that can't be written down. Talk about his brachas. My Rebbe was Mekayim Batig Zeromer V'Yokam Lach. Tzadik Gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, all types of people would come for Eitzes, for Brachas. Many, many Akaros were Nifkados for after many years of marriage, not having children, they had children. Many times after hearing the Bakash, he would open up a Chumash, he would think, sometimes for a while, and he would answer. Sometimes he would answer after thinking about it, he can't help. Sometimes he showed the Chumash the answer to the questioner. One time they brought him a Charedi Gioret Charedit, He had a bracha for children. And after a lot of pressure, he agreed to receive her. He opened the Chumash, pointed to a line. This is already after he lost his vision. And it said, Hu avi b'nei Amon ad hayom. So you can do what you want with that story. A woman once came to get a bracha for her sick husband, and when he opened the Chumash, Pasuk said, "Ve'elisha benidus tumasa le'sikrav." The woman admitted it, that they'd been over on that Aveira, and he said, "I can't help." Like the Chofetz Chaim used to say, people come to me for brachas, the Torah, the brachas to keep the Torah. Many times, immediately when he heard the name of the chole, he would determine whether or not he can give him a bracha. One time he told somebody he was close to, since every machala has a gzeira, through which doctor and through which medicine the Yeshua is going to come, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should be the doctor and I should be the medicine. Sometimes he would say, this is not the right time for bracha. You have to come another time. We didn't feel well. He would say, I don't have the koach to give a bracha. Mama, she didn't have the koach. One time somebody came to him to get a bracha. He opened the chumash and the pasuk was, L'bilti shmo al ha-kohen. He said, I can't give a bracha because they're not willing to listen to me. He was a kohen. Sometimes he would emphasize and say, I'm going to daven, but the chol himself also has to daven. Many times he would send the relatives of the Chol to daven in Kever Rashbi to give tzedakah there. One time when a person came back who was sent there to daven, and he said, there's no improvement. So the tzaddik said, why'd you daven without crying? Go back and daven with crying. So he didn't answer. He didn't say, oh, I was crying. Obviously, what the tzaddik said was true. Sometimes he would ask the person how much he learned of Shas. And when a bachur would come for a zivug, he would say to him, how many, you want a wife? How many starim did you learn? How many starim of Shas? And when he would say only a few mesechtas, he didn't want to give a bracha until he was, you know, pressured a lot. He wanted him to learn first. Sometimes he would only give a bracha, but tonight that the cholah promises to keep certain mitzvahs, like tefillin or Shabbos. Once he said to the father of a sick child, the reason for the machal of the son is your ma'asim ra'im. If you, it's a punishment to you. If you do tshuva, the machal is going to pass. He would give eitzes that when a woman goes into the hospital to give birth, the husband should say 70 times, Mizmor Chaf, Am Natzeach, Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. Sometimes you'd say it about a machla, that the person doesn't really have a machla against the diagnosis of the biggest doctors. And he would say it with absolute certitude, and he was right. Sometimes a person needed an operation, he would tell how to operate. It's hard to... The person writing this history of the tzaddik has many, many stories of the koach of his bracha. But he can't write all of them, we'll just bring a few. Sometimes the doctors would say that the woman can only give birth with an operation, a C-section. And he said, no C-section. Be'ezus Hashem, no C-section, the child was born in good health. And once there was a woman, every time she gave birth it was with a C-section, and he said, this time without, no operation this time. And so it was. Once when they were going to do an operation, he told the surgeon in the hospital, Tel HaShomer, a Chiloni man, a Chiloni doctor who knew the tzaddik from Ranana, that he shouldn't do the operation. So this doctor, this Chiloni doctor, said, if the tzaddik says she doesn't need another, an operation is necessary, I'm not doing it. Shum ofen. And so it was. There was no operation was needed. Sometimes when they came for a certain chola, he gave a bracha that the Yeshua should be techef umiyad. And then when the Mavakish came to his house, he saw Be'enav that it was mamish techef umiyad. Maisa ba'adam that he asked for his wife that was lying al eres tvai beveis cholim. She was in her deathbed in the hospital. And the doctor said that there's nothing they can do. They sent her home. Shas b'chasso shel Rabbeinu, the Rebbe gave a bracha, the tzaddik gave a bracha, she opened her eyes, and a few days later she came home healthy. So the doctors despaired, and she came home healthy, she didn't need any doctors. Maisa b'isha, that she kamat became blind, and the tzaddik gave her a bracha, and when she came home, she noticed she already sees much better. One time a Baal Tshuva came to him. He was having trouble finding a shidduch. And he says, you should soon find one. A tzadekes, a chasuda. After a month, it happened. He got married to a very special girl, a big chasuda. Very generous, kind-hearted girl. Many times, when they came for pregnant women, and there was already they already passed their due date, and they asked, should they do zeruz leida? Should the doctor do something to get the child out, to accelerate labor, or should they just let it be? And he would say, no, you don't have to worry about it. She's going to give birth on such and such a day. And so it was. One of the friends of the tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham, related that he had a lot of heart problems. He used to come to him a lot. And the tzaddik would rub his heart and above his heart and he would feel better. A girl who had these pitzaim, these scabs, and they were contagious, these wounds, and they kicked her out of school until she got better. And the tzaddik blessed her. The wounds went away and she went back to school. When they came to him for a child who a few days after he was born, he had a sibuch, something got messed up. The doctors were very, very nervous. The tzaddik davened for the child for 3 hours. And then he said, the bris milah is going to be bismano. And when they told the doctors, they laughed. And of course, the bris milah was bismano. A certain person had a very difficult migraine headaches. He had mamish, tremendous, tremendous pain. He had to put bandages around his head, cold compresses, warm compresses, whatever he needed, but he was tremendous pain. And he comes to the tzaddik, and immediately after the bracha of the tzaddik, it just went away, just disappeared, never came back. Person didn't have children, 20 years. He said, in the year Tavshin Lamed Ches, 78, you're going to have children. V'niskayma birchosa. And by that time, as we mentioned earlier, the tzaddik already passed away. Many times people ask for Zara Shel Kayama. So the Rebbe said, do you want a boy or a girl? And he would get bless him and he would get what he wanted. He was a child who at 4 years old could only crawl, and he started walking after the bracha of the tzaddik. And somebody close to him came with his relative who the doctor said has cancer. The tzaddik said, no, it's a big mistake. It's a big mistake. And all of the x-rays are not approved for anything. And they started doing the operation and they saw that it was a big mistake. a woman who wasn't from started acting really, really weird, and she came for a bracha. Bracha helped for a while, but then she went back to the way she was. And the tzaddik asked her about certain things, about kameyas she has in her house. And he said, she said, yeah. He said, take them out of your house and bury them. And she got completely better. From then she became from. One time a father came to him to ask about his daughter, who had a shetef dam in her brain. This blood, I don't know how to say it in English. And he opened the chumash, and after a few minutes of looking at the chumash, he said, tell me, do you have inappropriate books in your house, Sifrei Toeva? And he said, yes. He said, go home and burn them. A woman came to him, she was lying for 9 months in the hospital in her bed, and the doctor said that she has nivun shririm, that her muscles are wilting, rachmana litzlan, there's no trufa. And the tzaddik looked outside and he said, no, it's not her machla, everything's going to pass. And the next day the doctor said they made a mistake, they have to do an operation, and a certain thing that in Eretz Yisrael, they haven't yet done it, and in Chutz La'aretz, there's a doctor one time did this operation. And the tzaddik gave them a bracha, and his doctor said after the operation that in this operation the knife worked by itself. And that's Hashem, she got well very quickly, unlike the previous operation that the time of recovery was much longer. Okay, those who want to see their in the Hakdama to the Ben Azri HaMishuleshes, there are many, many more stories of his brachas that he gave. When the Ger Rebbe needed to have an operation, he asked the tzaddik to daven for him. Chatzkel Abramsky used to send to daven for him when he had a son who was ill. With all of his godless, he was Znag Bipashtus Ka'achad Ha'am, and he was Master as Gadluso. People didn't realize that there was such a Adam Kadosh. They knew that he was a Talmud Chacham, they knew that he learned day and night, but he acted towards people like he was their friend. When Bnei Torah would come before him and they would ask for Divrei Chizuk, he would speak about a novan at Tznei Aleches, about doing things humbly, and he said, otherwise it's not worth it. The Sitrachor takes your mitzvahs when you don't do it, but when you do them publicly. You have to do things in private that people don't see. Avreich once asked him about a Tainis Dibur. He said, if other people know about it, it's not worth anything. He's very makbid when people would call him a tzaddik or an admor. One time they wanted him to sign a letter to be mechazik as var mitzvah. He asked, what is my signature going to add? Who cares about my signature? One time he was mechadish chedushim gedolim. The person listening said to the rabbeinu, Ke'elu chedushim, only tzaddikim gedolim can be mechadish. So he was lying in bed. He was suffering a lot, and he lifted up his blanket. He's wearing like his pajamas, his long underwear. And he said, "This is a big tzaddik." Like just to make himself into a nothing. When people wanted to eat his shirayim, he said, "I'm not an admor." He didn't allow them to. When they read in front of him the Haskamas on his sefer, when he heard the Torahim that they wrote about him, the titles, he cried. Another time they read him Haskamas, he said, "It's sheker." And when they would say about him, "You're a tzaddik, Gozer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makayim," he said, "I'm not a tzaddik." When he was lying in the hospital for his eye operation, it became known to him that a certain Adam Gadol wants to visit him. So he said, "Don't come." They asked him why. He said, "I'm afraid of Gaiva, that this great person is going to visit me, he's going to bring me to Gaiva." One time an Avreich told him that his bracha was miskayim, that his bracha was fulfilled. He was amazed. "Wow, what a great bracha. Thanks, Rebbe." And the tzaddik said to him, "You're not going to give me gaiva." "Hey, you say you're such a great tzaddik. You're not going to give me gaiva." You could also say that when people say it's all because of you and your merit. When they would say to thank him, he would point to Shemayim and say, "It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't do anything." Sometimes people would come to get a bracha, he would say, "You give me a bracha." And he would demand it. And he would say, "You have to break your gaiva." Not to the person, to himself. He didn't allow them to wait for him when he davened Shemoneh Esrei and Shul. One time a Baal Tshuva came to him, was mashpi on others. He asked for a baka. He asked him for a bracha shmatzliach. So the tzaddik said to him, "Did you do tshuva yet?" He said, "Yeah." So the tzaddik screamed, "I haven't yet done tshuva. You already did tshuva? I haven't done tshuva." One time he complained and he said, "I'm not going to have Gan Eden." And he said, "But I'm also not going to have Gehenna." Sometimes people waited for him outside late at night, and his wife said, "No, don't receive these people now, it's too late." She was worried about his health, and he said, "People are suffering, how can I push them away?" He said, "As long as I can help, how can I not help?" He had tremendous pain at other people suffering. He would cry for hours. Talmud Chacham Mefursim related that a number of years back he went with the tzaddik to shul in Ranana, and he used to daven in the back, and he heard two people who were talking about him, complaining about him. They were besmirching his name, they were disgracing him. And he approached them and he said, "You're going to be my Eidim." They said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "When I come to the Beis Shalmaila and they ask me, 'You were a Rav, you were a Talmud Chacham, why weren't you a Mochiach, the people of your city?' You'll be my Edim, that I have no value, people don't care what I say." Somebody who saw his house could understand the words of Rabbi HaKadosh in Ksubas Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Zokav Eser Etz Ba'osav Klapi Malav Amri Yagati Beser Etz Ba'osav B'tar V'lo Ananesi Afilu Be'etz B'Ketana. He lifted his 10 fingers up and he said, I toiled with my 10 fingers in Torah, I didn't get any Hana. With all the rich wealth of Rabbi, he wasn't Nana. So too the Tzaddik, wasn't Anna. Once he was in a some sort of hostel for Shabbos in Yerushalayim, and there was also a young Avreich there. And Friday night they spoke in learning, and the conversation continued until the morning, without them realizing it. And then he got upset at the Avreich. He said, "I'm an old man. Like, why don't you tell me it's late?" But this Avreich didn't realize that he was enjoying the conversation so much. And then a little while later, the tzaddik appeased him. He asked him mechila, but that wasn't enough for him. A few hours later, he asked him for mechila again, even though he told him the first time he wasn't that he wasn't makbid. And on Motzei Shabbos, he asked for mechila again. And then he said, "I want us to be friends. And if you ever have a shaila in Divrei Torah, Nigla Nistar, you come and ask me." And from then on, for many years to come, he would write him Divrei Torah. Make sure that this person wouldn't be offended. So he could have built a beautiful home, nice furniture, great food, but yet he was mistapik b'ma'atshik b'ma'at. That today even the poorest of the poor doesn't live like that. And a bais that was suffik, if it was a bais enough to be chayv in mezuzah, with old beds, a shaky chair held by a couple of ropes, and in his later years in Ranana, a box, a big box was his table, and he had one chair without an armrest. Few little footstools, and he had this rip talus cotton till it was more patched up than it was unpatched up. He had to fast a lot for many years. And in his later years, when he wouldn't fast, he would eat once a day towards the end of the day. One time he had a hoarse voice, he was drinking tea. Somebody close to him said, "Why don't you put in honey?" That's what a certain tzaddik does. And the tzaddik said, "He's worth it, I'm not worth it." He wasn't masking. When his Rebbetzin would tell him to eat a certain food that she prepared, since it's really tasty, that was enough of a reason for him not to eat it. The person writing these told us of the tzaddik, said, "B'toch kahal Hashem nodia ne'emana, ke'elu ha'uvdus mitoldos chaya rabbeinu z'chus yugen alayni, hinam dvarim shenishimu mipi ba'al maisa o adam shesha Hashem b'shas maisa." Everything I told now either was heard from the person it happened to or somebody who was there when it happened. Ve'akol emes l'loy doifi l'lo hagzama kolshi. It's completely true. No casting aspersions and no exaggerations. Schuso Tugalain of Al-Kol Yisrael is also a chapter in his Diktuk B'mitzvahs, which we skipped. But suffice it to say that he was Moiser Nefesh, Kiyom HaMitzvahs, obviously, tremendous Diktuk HaDin in Yerushalayim. Be'emes chus yogen aleinu v'akol Yisrael amen, and b'rtzos Hashem darkeinu, we will in the future learn his svarim, the ben Oshri bracha mishul ben Oshri bracha mishul lashes, and this way we'll bring nachas ruach to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're learning his Torah kedosha, and to the neshama of the tzaddik atzaddik miranana, Hagon Rav Yitzchak Hakohen Haberman, zecher tzaddik v'kadosh lebracha. Shalom shalom.